Welcome to the Funding Love Podcast. I'm Mallory.
And I'm Caitlin. We are two adoptive moms that seek to love, support, and elevate all corners of the adoption triad through honest conversation and interviews while running our nonprofit, Funding Love.
Funding Love creates post-adoption experiences that strengthen bonds, build community, and restore people. We are Funding Love. Let's go.
Hey there, this is Caitlin, and before we jump into today's episode, I wanted to remind you that this April we will be hosting our inaugural Funding Love fundraising gala. We have big dreams for this event, and our goal is to raise over $100,000 in one night. It's going to be an incredible black tie affair, including a silent auction, music and entertainment, and a three-course plated meal. It's going to be a magical evening, and the best part is you are invited. Individual tickets and tables of 10 are available for purchase now on our website. Visit fundinglove.com/gala today. We cannot wait to see you there.
Happy New Year. This is the Funding Love Podcast. It is 2023 and I am Mal, your co-host here on the podcast. I am here with Kate. Happy New Year, Caitlin.
Happy New Year, Mallory. I can't believe the holidays are done. We're here. We're in the new year and so many good things ahead for the new year. But, you know, when it's the new year also means that I have a three-year-old.
That's so exciting.
I know. My daughter's birthday's on January 1st. So with the new year comes a new age. And, you know, it's a fun way to kind of keep track of the year, too. Like her growth and everything. It's kind of easy. Just, hey, aww, New Year's Day. So, but yeah, the holidays are done. I have a three-year-old and here we are. We're off into 2023.
That's so exciting. Yeah, we had a great holiday season as well. There's always something refreshing about starting over a new year, yeah?
Yeah, I agree. I agree. And I think that's, you know, this episode's episode 40, and you and I went back and forth on what are we going to do as we were planning our episodes. And we both kept coming back to this idea of, like, let's just take a week off. Not because we don't want to invest in the podcast, but like to be intentional about rest and to take that time to kind of reset for the new year, reset with your families, and just to take a week off. And so this week we're actually going to replay one of the most listened to episodes from 2022.
Yeah. So not only is it one of our most listened to podcasts, it is our most listened to podcast of 2022. And I don't know about Adam, but my husband, Tim, takes so much pride in the fact that his episode of the Funding Love Podcast is the most listened to episode. So it is one that dropped last June. It was our Father's Day special. Yeah. And it was all about honest stories and hesitations of adopting from adoptive dads' point of views. So our husbands got kind of real and raw and a little bit vulnerable. And I think it was a really well listened to episode because being able to listen to that male perspective on adoption and coming from an adoptive dad, which we don't hear a lot from, I think that's why it was really well listened to. So happy new year. I'm excited for a week of rest. I hope our listeners are taking a week to rest and reset as well. Let's give this episode another listen. Hello, and welcome back to the Funding Love Podcast. I am your co-host, Mal.
And I am Caitlin.
Hi, Caitlin. How are you?
Oh, I'm so excited for this episode.
Me too. This episode is going to air right before Father's Day, and we have some really special guests this week.
Yes, we do. We have two special guests, and they are fathers, and they are father of our children.
It is true. So we have our husbands here today. I have my husband, Tim.
Hey, guys. I'm here.
And I have my husband, Adam, here.
Hello, everyone.
So this should be a really fun episode. So guys, I think we'll just turn it over to you and let you introduce yourselves. I mean, Caitlin and I have talked about you a good bit on some episodes previous, but we'll let you speak for yourselves. So Tim, do you want to introduce yourself?
Sure. I hope they were good things that you've said before. So hi, my name is Tim. I am the husband of Mallory, who is a co-host of this podcast. So I'm a travel agent. I love Disney World. I love sports. And I love my kids and my wife. So that's kind of
you in a nutshell.
Me in a nutshell right there. And iced coffee and tacos. So now you know all of my existence. So that's it. So Adam, why don't you introduce yourself? And I work for this guy. So that's fun.
I like to say we work together. That's like my number one line.
Yeah.
Yes. We've worked together for 6 years now, which is awesome. So Tim's actually one of my best friends.
It's true.
And we are leaders in the organization known as Travelmation. So that's what we do for a day job. I also work contractually at a church. I run volunteering. I love volunteers. I have written a couple of books on volunteering. I'm an adoptive parent. I'm sure we'll get into that. I really like traveling, even though I get tired sometimes. I don't know if like it's post-pandemic like fatigue, but now that I'm back on the road and traveling a lot, I'm getting tired while I travel. Like when I get back, I'm like, oh, I can't wait to be home.
Maybe it's because you're creeping towards the 4-0.
Maybe because I'm creeping toward 40.
We're getting old.
That could be
Adam.
It. I'm running out of gas. But yeah. So I love to travel. I love Disney. I love Star Wars in particularly. I really get into specific things and binge them and don't stop. Mallory Elrod, one of the co-hosts of this show, and I have talked about Lost for many sessions at Walt Disney World, and we've been together just chatting about. But the point is I get really into things and I don't let it go. So I kind of watch the same thing over and over again. I watch Seinfeld every single night before bed. I fall asleep to it. So that's a little bit about me from a personal perspective. I'm sure we'll get into more.
Yes. Well, you know, thank you guys for joining us. You know, we'll get the mushy stuff out of the way. Happy Father's Day to both of you guys.
Thank you.
You guys are incredible dads, and we're so, you know, thankful to take our lead from you.
I love my gift this year. It's so great.
Your Father's Day gift?
I love it.
So excited.
I haven't gotten it yet, so.
Okay. Do you know something I don't know?
I hope mine's just as awesome, Adam.
So, you know, Tim, my first Father's Day, I believe, like we had our first Mother's Day and our first Father's Day, and the first Mother's Day was like really important. I think I got Caitlin like a Tiffany necklace that was an L for Libby, and I think Caitlin got me like a personalized book, or like a coloring book.
Perfect.
And I was like, what a great first, you know, memories.
Listen, Caitlin,
so you must love it, clearly.
Caitlin, if this episode airs and we still haven't gotten a gift, I think we have like 5 days or something, so...
Yeah, we better.
This is a good reminder.
Yeah,
it's true.
So let's dive into like the topic of adoption. So Mallory and I have, it's very clear that adoption was on our hearts since like we could remember, since we were young girls, and we know that that is not the case for both of you gentlemen. So whoever wants to speak first, like when do you feel like your heart changed, or how did you finally wrap your head around the idea of adoption, knowing that your wives were like, you know, 100% in from day one?
This is Tim. When was the first time you told me that it was early on?
I have a vivid memory.
Was it on the park bench?
No. I think we were on a date, and this might have been the date that I told you that like we couldn't be official. Like, it was one of our very first dates.
Perfect. She turned me down the first time I asked her out, which is a great story.
No, I don't know that I knew that. I'll have to tell that during your vow renewal.
Perfect. Yeah.
So, it was on, like, one of our first dates. No, we were going to that mall. Like, was it Stonecrest Mall in Georgia? And I remember being in your truck, and we were talking about, you know, what we would want in life, you know, as 19-year-olds. How silly. And I remember saying, I really would love to adopt one day. It's like adoption is on my heart. I would love to adopt. And whoever I marry, I really want to be sure that they want to adopt. And he was like, oh, yeah, me too.
Have you ever made a decision in your life where, you know, you want something so bad, but there's, you know, there's like some things that come along with it, but you're like, that's, you know what, whatever. That's great. Fine. We'll take that too, but, you know.
She's not really serious, right?
Right. That was me because I was like...
Well, he was 20 years old.
Right. And I didn't know this then, but I know this now thanks to her, but I'm an Enneagram 3. Like if I get something on my brain and like go after it like that, you know, and she was like, I wanted her to be my girlfriend. So like, sure, we'll adopt. No, like thought that would ever actually be the case. Right. I mean, I would go as far as to say, I don't even know that I was fully in when we were going to like the classes to start out with. Like I was still pretty... I don't know. I was on the fence at that point. And I clearly remember, I mean, we were fundraising, so we had obviously started the process, right? Like you don't fundraise unless we've, you know, signed the paperwork or whatever. But we had just started like putting it out there that we were adopting. And I worked at a church. We did not make a lot of money. And so this was like it was a big step for us. And I remember that like next Sunday at church, some friends of ours gave us a really big check, or at least for me, it was like a really big check, you know? And they're like, hey, God just, you know, told us to bless you guys in your adoption. And that was the first time that I was like, okay, maybe this like, is it like, maybe I can trust God through this process, because that was a big step for me, because we did not have the money in the bank that it costs to do the adoption. And I'm very practical, and I'm, you know, like I need to see it, and it wasn't there. And so that was tough for me in the beginning. So long story short, yeah, to answer your question, it was not something I had planned originally or had thought about, or what, even when we started the process, I was still like
hesitant.
Baby steps, you know? So, yeah.
Yeah, and the financial part is a roadblock for a lot of people. Mm-hmm. It's hard for them to like wrap the idea around, am I really going to do this when this huge amount of money's in the way? I
mean, yeah.
That's a valid point.
Yeah.
What about you, Adam?
So we've talked about the Enneagram quite a bit with the Elrods over the course of time. I think they were some of the people to introduce me to it. And Tim's a three, and I've kind of evaluated over the course of time where I have a lot of three tendencies, but I'm an eight. So I say things, hopefully in a diplomatic way, that are blunt, yet when I go after something, you can go to war with me, we'll get it done, and it'll be the biggest and the best, and let's rock and roll. The same is true with adoption, but I'll also say, like, I was the person who was saying things privately, not publicly, that many people wanted to say but never would say. That I didn't want children, I didn't want my life disrupted, they are a menace to society and my life in terms of the way that they grow up, they put their hands all over my white walls, and I did not want my life disrupted. I was very selfish, and I'm okay with that because I'm secure enough to just discuss those things and talk about those things. And I was also of the mindset that if I was going to have a child, I really wanted to help a kid. I didn't want to just create for the simple fact of creating your own kids, even though biologically, even though that is a completely different honorable thing, it just wasn't on my heart. And so there was one time for me where Caitlin and I discussed this for a long time, because we went up and down through the roads of marriage, of talking about wanting kids and not wanting kids and all those things. And I was at the Orange Conference, I think it was 2016, maybe 2015, 2016. And Reggie Joyner told the story about his mom and her adoptive parents had both died. And then she was adopted by her school teacher. And I really felt, it wasn't even really Caitlin, even though she was a big part of it, but I really felt God say to my heart, you will adopt. And once you know that something is supposed to happen in your life, you can run from it, and then there's the point where you know that your running is just going to, you know, run you in circles, or you're not going to be able to run away from it. And that was me, and I knew that we were supposed to do it, and I knew that I was supposed to give up some of myself for this thing, becoming a parent, adoption, and I knew it was going to be a really cool journey. So I was not there in the beginning. I think I'm there now, you know, 2.5 years in, but it was a journey for sure.
My favorite part of that story is that, so I don't know when you told me that. That was like, I don't know.
A year later.
No, it was like 2017 or whatever, 2018. And you're like, well, let's talk about it in like 2019. Well, January 1st of 2019, I sat him down and said, okay, are you ready?
She didn't waste any time.
He's like, no.
Which is why I also haven't said that I will have a second one, because I know that there'll be paperwork on my desk as soon as I utter the phrase. So I'm holding it back.
But you don't know what's in the drawer right now.
I don't know what's in the drawer.
It's ready to go. They just need a notary, Adam. So
right. Yeah. But I love that even though you both had hesitations, they were pretty different. Like one was, I love that you just own it, Adam, and you're like, I just had like this selfishness in me of not wanting to have to think about another human being. And then Tim's was, you know, we already had three children, and he was just, it was a pure money standpoint. It was like, sure, yeah, there's kids out there that might need a home, or but like that costs a lot of money, and we could just make another one of our own. Like, why would we do this? And so I love that there's not like a singular struggle of coming to adoption. Like there's so many different things that can feel like hurdles.
Mal, the other thing that I want to say about me, that because we're getting vulnerable here, right? Which is not something I do a lot. But when I love something, I love really hard. Like I love my wife. I love our company. I love my dog, now our daughter, really, really hard. So when I open my heart to things, it's very difficult for me to do it because I know the commitment that it takes from me. And so there was a long time of me not wanting to love something that much where I didn't really want to cross that line. It was very deep and introspective for me to be able to do it. And it was very powerful, the journey. But I think the people who kind of own those feelings, the best, at least what I've discovered, is they discover about themselves along the way and they become healthier individuals because of it. And that's what I think I did through the process.
Yeah, and you also, during the process, kind of your husband
almost pulled the cord a number of times.
Yeah, I mean, like, we are a couple months in, and you know, and then get situations, you hear no's, and it like drags out, and then you get discouraged, and he's like, well, maybe we shouldn't do it. So that I think is very normal, though. I don't think that's an abnormal feeling. No. I think that is very normal.
And Tim and I talked a lot with each other throughout the process.
We had a lot of those conversations.
We did, and I didn't know you as well when you guys adopted Mason, because it was so new into our friendship, as you knew me along the journey. And when we actually met our birth mom for the first time, it was really cool. The Elrods drove to Walt Disney World and met us at the Nomad Lounge. I'll never forget. We sat at the bar and talked through it and talked through the conversations about how we were feeling, what we felt like, and how the experience was, which was really neat to go through that together.
Yeah, it really was, because I saw a visible change in you, not just verbal, but like a visible change in your body language and the way you expressed yourself after you met Libby's birth mom. And it was really cool to watch both of you kind of walk through that process and grow.
Which is why I didn't want to do it, Mal, because I didn't really want to change.
That was one of my favorite memories, though, driving down.
It was a wonderful memory.
Being a part of that, that was pretty special.
Yeah, so what, I mean, I guess you guys have already kind of touched on, like, the common fears or worries that, someone that hasn't always felt called to adoption might feel walking into adoption. But like, what were, I guess Adam has talked about some of it, but Tim, I feel like you could touch on things, on some of the things that actually felt like a turning point that like changed your mind, that helped shift your perspective.
Yeah, I mean, Adam touched on some of his feelings. You know, I just talked about being scared of the money, but I think one of my other hesitations was similar to Adam, not from having other kids, but from, you know, loving his wife, loving, you know, Dottie, which is another kid for them. But, you know, for me, I was legit worried about, like, we have three biological children. Will I love this child as much or the same? Like, those are just honest questions that you struggle with, you know what I mean? And so, for me, that was part of the equation too. I think when we got serious talking about it, you know,
right.
Like, I don't think I ever really thought about it before we got serious, because in my mind it was like, yeah, I told her, yeah, and we got married, but like, that'll go away, right? You know what I mean? But it didn't go away. And so for me, that was a struggle. But me and Mal, like, talk about this all the time. Like, I love Mason just as much as I love Jack or Cole or Lorelai, but it's still just different. You know what I mean? Like, you almost, like, I think for me as a dad, it's almost this, like, protector role more so of him than it's very interesting, and I don't really know how to bring words to it.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe it has to do also, because Mal and I have talked about this as well. You want to do right by his birth mom too, and his
correct
whole family. So there's that aspect that almost feels like maybe a bit of added pressure, especially as a dad in that role.
Right, because everybody's, I mean, that's the thing about adoption. Like, you've never heard the same story twice, because everything is so different from every situation to the next. But, you know, for us, we're blessed and fortunate to have that relationship like you guys are with Mason's birth mom. And so
it's just an extra layer.
It really is. Yeah. It's such a layer, right? But I don't even think I answered your question, but what was your first question? Like, your question
just,
you
like,
asked?
The turning point of you getting past those questions. Like, I know the answer to this question, but like,
why, what's your answer?
Is the community that we had around us.
Yeah.
I remember those were valid questions that you felt ashamed to ask. And we had two people in our lives at the time. I guess they were kind of like how we were in your life, where we were like, you can ask us anything and nothing's going to feel offensive. We had friends, Kevin and Carolyn.
Yeah. I remember sitting at Carrabba's in a booth.
Yes.
Asking them like these questions, like, how do you, you know,
Man, they got good oil and herb there, don't they, for the bread?
Ooh, the
fried zucchini.
The fried zucchini, the herbs and oil. Man.
But, yeah, I felt like watching you, just like how I said I could see a difference even in Adam's body language after meeting Libby's birth mom. I felt like after we had that dinner with Kevin and Carolyn, because we were in a small group with them, so we were walking through their adoption process with them. But I remember he had all of these questions, and I was like, babe, we should just ask them to dinner, because I know Kevin would be real with you. He would be honest with you, and they wouldn't make us feel, you know, ashamed or like we were weird for asking these really hard questions that you feel embarrassed to ask. And I remember during that dinner, like, I could see like a change in your body language, a change in the way you spoke. And I could see like a shift in your perspective.
Yeah, that was a big deal. Community was a big part of it. For
sure. No other people have maybe thought those same questions that you're like, oh gosh, is that bad?
Right.
That a bad thought? And, you know, it makes you feel comfortable. Like, okay, good. Somebody else has thought this. I'm normal. This is a part of the process. Yeah.
See, Tim, you had a great circle of people around you who were encouraging and willing to wrap your arms around you. All of my guy friends down here did not have children yet.
Right.
And my best friend from, and we were all the same age. We're all knocking on the door of 40 and nobody had kids yet. And we were all kind of going through this journey together, and we were the first ones to adopt Libby, and nobody else had kids yet. And everybody else was surrounding me going, don't do it. Yeah. You know better. You know better than this. And again, that would have been probably even more comforting to have, you know, local people to put your arms around. But we had people like y'all who were, you know, there from a distance and physically as well. So,
but look at you now. Oh, look at Libby. Wow.
What a joy.
Yeah,
it is.
I would love to know, Adam, what you would say to a man now whose wife is like, let's adopt. And he is very hesitant.
Ooh,
like,
great,
I would
question,
love to know what
know
advice
too.
You would say to him. I feel like you'd be very real with him.
I would tell him that you should absolutely do it if you're on the fence, because it's a life-changing decision. It's very powerful. The first year for me was really hard. And it also happened for us during the pandemic. So,
right. Yeah, you got a newborn and then lockdown.
Yeah. Yeah. Libby was born January 1st. Caitlin went back to work April 1st for, you know, 14-hour days. And I was with Libby for a long time. When you don't
like babies.
When
really.
You don't want a baby, and then right. you're with the baby for 14. And I couldn't get her to nap, and she, you know, puked. And it wasn't
your thing.
It wasn't my thing. That's it was a dark time. Again, you know, coinciding with that, we thought our industry was collapsing. So we didn't really know what would become of the travel industry. So it was a lot of compounding things at that point. But I would tell a prospective adoptive father to absolutely, if you're on the fence, I would totally recommend doing it. And I would say it's a very powerful thing to help a life. And everything that they tell you is true. Over the course of time, that you will love this little girl, she'll wrap you around her finger, and she has and does. All of that is very true. It's not that it's not true. It's just you have to decide to take the leap to get there. But the leap is not like changing toilet papers or getting a different shampoo, like, and making a decision. Like, this is a lifelong decision, which is why it took so long to make the decision, because it's very different. Our life will never be the same. From that moment on, it will never be the same. And I don't think enough people talk about it. I think enough people really flippantly make the decision to have kids, and they're like, what did we do? That's why I think we have sometimes a problem in our country and our world with fathers being present in their home, because they don't know what they're they don't know what they're getting into. And then they go, I'm out. I'm not dealing with this. And for me, it was I knew what I was getting into, because I was a kids pastor for 15 years. So I knew exactly what I was jumping into, and I wanted to take the time to do it properly. But I would definitely say it's life-changing, and it's changed my life for the better, 100%.
So it's worth it.
Yes. It's totally. I'm just wondering if there was there a comma there to indicate.
No.
Yeah, okay, good.
No, I'm just wrapping it up, saying it's hard, but it's worth it. That's what I'm saying. So we know you've got through the baby phase. Thank goodness. We're in the twos now. We're in the toddler twos. But Tim, I'm going to come to you next for this question, but since it's our Father's Day special episode, what's your favorite thing about being a father?
Honestly, you know, we have three boys and a girl, but Lorelai, same way, like, wrapped around, you know, her finger is me, you know, but she always needs her daddy hugs, you know what I mean? And it just, that's pretty special. You know, I love my boys, but it's just a little bit different, you know, with a daughter. But, you know, but then again tonight, you know, Jack and Cole randomly are playing a baseball game. They've never practiced. They just got signed up on a team last minute, and I got to see Jack go, you know, pitch in a game tonight. So that was cool too. But
I think
for me now, it's like watching them grow up, you know, like even at two, they're still just kind of like waddling around and, you know, we're just making it through the day. Right. But like really to start seeing, we were talking about this yesterday with some friends, but like seeing all of their different personalities just come alive, you know what I mean? And it's like, I think you can get lost when they're so young. You can get lost in the mundane of just like, it's just a lot of work.
Those,
you know what I mean?
Discipline years are hard.
It's hard. It's so hard. But I think now I'm on the other side of some of that. We're still dealing with it with Mason. But what you, he just turned six. So like, that's normal. But like seeing them become like little humans and adults, and it's, you know, like little miniature versions of what they will be one day. I think that's pretty special just to see and think about what they can become, you know, yeah. And we're like guiding and shifting that. And like Mallory's grandmother, me mama, you know, bless her heart, but she would say, you know, she'd make a comment, "You're not going to bring another one into this terrible world, are you?" Know what I mean? Like just that idea of like the world's so bad. And
are
like,
you bringing another one into this terrible world?
No, you're next, Adam. Remember, the paperwork's in the drawer. But you know, I think our mindset is like, we would love to raise like some of the good ones in the world. You know mm-hmm. what I mean? And like, that's just like the goal and the mindset right now. And so I love seeing that. I love like the little personalities that they're becoming and, you know,
yeah,
just trying not to screw them up. So
you guys are doing fabulous. Your kids are amazing. They're such a joy to be around. They really are.
They are. They're such good kids. Yeah. All right. Do you want me to answer?
I do. Go ahead, please.
So I would like to answer this with a side note, and then I'll answer it completely. I would be a terrible boy dad, number one. Like, everybody's kind of like, no,
so?
You would. Oh, I totally think so.
I don't think so. WWE.
No, yeah, listen. Y'all could go to wrestling events. And
we could go. That's about as far as it goes with
me. I mean,
me.
Listen, he suplexed Libby on the bed the other day.
I did. I gave Libby a suplex. But like, you know, I'll take Libby to the mall. We'll shop. I took her into the nail shop the other day, and like they, you know, Tim, we've been there. The polished nails.
Oh yeah, yeah. Did you take her to the Louis store? And you know,
yeah. Well, not yet, because no, Caitlin won't. I did want to buy her a pair of golden gooses, and Caitlin told me absolutely not.
She needs but
a little early.
A little early.
Yeah, get her a job.
My favorite thing about just currently about being a parent is because I still am at DHC, which is Downtown Harbor Church, every Sunday. So Caitlin volunteers and she brings Libby with her. And right at 8:30, we have our volunteer huddle. So we will kind of gather the volunteers. I still am the volunteer coordinator at DHC. So I schedule everyone, we assign their positions, and then we pray before service. And about the same time every Sunday, Libby comes around the curb, or around the, not the curb, around the curve, excuse me. And she's got her little dress on usually, or some outfit, and she runs right to me and she sees me. Even if I'm doing something, she'll interrupt me. That's probably my favorite moment of the week in terms of having a kid. I don't know why, but that's a really sweet moment. And I want her to see that we're present there. Mm-hmm. That's important to us, that she sees us engaged in serving. That's just a quote unquote core value of our home. And I just really love that she comes around the corner and that we're there. I'm there for her to see.
Oh, and it's so sweet, because every Sunday when she gets her dress on, I'm going to church to see Dad, and she has to get her purse, and she picks out a bow. And
that girl always has a bag. I love it.
Always has a bag on her. I know. And so then she wants to show Dad her nails when she gets to church. It's a pretty sweet.
Dad, look at my nails.
Look at my nails. Yeah, it's pretty cute.
She's a girl, though, Tim, like Lorelai. Like, they're girls. Like,
they're girls, girls. Yeah.
Girls, girls,
oh, man. Like, we're going to have our hands full.
Oh, yeah. We'll be there for each other in 20 years, you know? We'll be paying for weddings and the whole thing.
Boy. I can only imagine that bill.
Oh, yeah.
I should start saving now.
Yeah, we are.
You are wise, yes.
Yeah.
Mal, what else you got for us?
I don't know. I think that it's a good way to wrap up. I appreciate y'all's vulnerability and honesty. I feel like there are a lot of men out there that can relate to the hesitancy of adoption and fatherhood in general, let's be honest. And then fatherhood in its own can be so scary. And then when you add in this layer of adoption, it's just a whole new level. So, you know.
But Mal, can I say something? I just feel like why adoption is so powerful, because it really is writing this story of redemption and people helping people in the most powerful way of going, you can give money to a guy on the street all day. You can help build charitable organizations all day. You can engage in a lot of ways that you can engage with causes and the greater good, but you really want to show that you care about humanity and you love people, open your home to a kid. That is game changing for the world. I mean, you want to talk about a changer for our lives, for Libby's life, for everybody's life involved who would see the story, who would hear the story, who would go, what? Like, that's putting your life into perspective to go, yeah, I really mean what I say. And that's really why I did it at the end of the day, because I wanted to be a part of something bigger than me. And
something that'll live longer. I mean, you are investing in a legacy. You're changing stories and you're writing stories, or you're participating in the changing and the writing of other people's stories and really passing on a legacy that we have no idea where this could lead.
Yeah. As Christian Shepherd said to Jack Shepherd in the church at the end of Lost, these people are the most important people that you encountered in your life. They are there that you spent the most important time of your entire life with these people. I'm referencing back to a joke. However, a lot of it's true. You never know what you're doing, what your story will impact. And that meant something to me.
Yeah.
That's huge.
It really is.
Yeah, and I'm gonna speak for you a little bit here, Adam. Mm. Just because there's one more thing I thought of. When we were going through the process, the idea of open adoption, that was a big thing for you that like held you. You're like, wait a second, I don't know about that. I don't want to be involved with that. Do we have to do it? And then I don't think what you expected was when, now we have an open relationship, is the extra love that you now have as well. Like, you know, we knew we were going to love our daughter. You know you will, but now we get to love on her birth mom. And that is like a whole other layer of love and loving on people and loving big that I don't think you expected. And I know I didn't expect. I wanted, but I didn't expect it. So I think that is something that was a huge unexpected win in that whole process.
I agree. I mean, and the world's a scary place. Have you seen the world? It's like the motor vehicle bureau out there. I mean, it's not
you know, great.
I've encountered people at Walgreens and at the DMV it's difficult to think that those people would become a part of your story, but that's the point.
Yeah, it's true.
That's everything. That's the whole point of the whole story of adoption.
Yeah.
And you know, Elrod, you guys were a big inspiration to us, especially Tim, when you went through it. Right around the time you joined Travelmation, if I remember right.
It was true.
No, I joined Travelmation because I was like, all right, we got to pay for these annual passes somehow.
That's literally why he joined. I remember the conversation.
We're adopting a fourth kid, you know. I think they had raised the annual pass to like $490 back then, you know, it was like something ridiculous. That's like what, 2 days at the park now?
You joined in February?
Oh yeah, February
and then
2016.
He came home March 22nd. So month later.
Basically, oh my gosh, it was that soon.
Yeah, basically the stories coincide.
They do,
you know, which is really cool. I'll never forget when Tim joined the Travelmation team, and then like the first week, I got a call from Alston, and he goes, "Hey man, this new guy Tim, he just booked 3 club level rooms at the yacht club for his first booking," and I go, "Who is this dude?" And the rest is history.
I remember when Tim joined, because you're like, "Oh, this new guy joined, and they're adopting." I go, "Ooh, I want to know them."
let's get coffee.
Yeah,
and
let's
look
hang
at
out.
Us now, Caitlin.
Look at us now.
Oh my goodness,
here we are.
Who would have known?
Well, thank you guys.
Absolutely, anytime.
Happy Father's Day. You guys are special to us.
This is a short episode. Are you cutting us off?
No, Caitlin, we do have one more question. We try to always end our episodes with a Disney-related question, because we're a Disney-related nonprofit, and we like to end sometimes some of these heavier episodes with something a little bit lighter. And so we usually end with a Disney question. Who is your favorite Disney dad? Like a Disney character that is a dad.
What is it?
King Triton. King Triton. For two reasons. Number one, he is the character on my favorite cigar store. I do like to have cigars.
I went there for the first time a few weeks ago.
You did. Matt Appleby was in town, one of our buddies. Yeah. And I was like, that's my place. And he goes, oh, wow, King Triton's on the logo. So that's number one. But number two, he ruled with an iron fist, which I hope to do when the men come after my daughter in about, you know, 10, 15 years.
Ariel was a brat, so he had to deal with it, you know? Like,
he did, the poor guy.
She was a hard daughter.
So maybe King Triton. Tim?
I think he's a great dad.
I thought we were going parks or something. This is like not...
Mufasa, he's a legend.
I was thinking
I was thinking Mufasa and I was thinking Lion King, but, you know, that felt like a gimme. You know what I mean?
No, not never a gimme. Mufasa lives on.
Yeah.
He is such a great dad.
We'll go Mufasa.
Remember who you are.
It's true.
Mm. Yes.
It's a great
line. Mufasa's it, Tim?
Yeah. Let's go with Mufasa. That's a great one.
You know, there's a lot of Disney films with the absence of father.
That's what I'm saying.
That is true.
It is very true.
Yes.
There's not a ton. You know,
Toy Story, Finding Nemo, got a great dad, Marlin's but he's a bit of a helicopter parent.
Yeah.
He's a bit of a nut.
You know.
Can I say that one of the most, I don't want to call it underrated because it's very highly rated, but one of my favorite Disney Pixar films is Inside Out.
Oh, yes.
I just think Inside Out is a beautiful piece of cinema. And the mom and the dad in Inside Out with Riley and all of the emotions that she's feeling in her brain with a move. Because any one of us could experience that at any time. Yeah. Like we could. It's doubtful that we'll move because we all work, you know, for places that where jobs can happen anywhere. But for this particular role, these parents moved their kid across the country and they dealt with that. And so that one pops to my mind as well. And they really tried to comfort her and be there for her and those kinds of things.
Tell me, Adam, did you ever see the short film Riley's First Date?
No.
Please, really? When we get off of here, go see Inside Out, Riley's First Date, because it really goes into the dad's head a lot and the mom's head.
Oh, that's cute.
It is utterly hilarious.
Okay.
You have to go watch Riley's First Date, and any of our listeners that haven't seen that, it's one of my favorite Pixar shorts of all time. It is hilarious.
Yeah.
Go watch it.
That's good. I will definitely check it out. I'm not sure I want to dive into the dating world yet because she's still two.
Yeah.
Oh boy. I just took a deep sigh.
I think that you'll enjoy this short. We'll put it that way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good.
Awesome. Well, thank you guys so much for joining us tonight or today on this podcast.
Yeah. Thanks for having us. It was fun.
Yay. It was so fun. Thanks, guys. Absolutely. We love you both. Happy Father's Day.
Happy Father's Day.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Funding Love Podcast. We are a crowdfunded nonprofit, which means that people like you can make a lasting impact on the adoption community through your generous support. You can give online today at fundinglove.com/donate.
My name is Christina, and I support Funding Love. I firmly believe the life of a child is the most precious thing we have. Children require love. They deserve to be heard and nurtured, to grow and develop into empowered and strong individuals. And what this organization does is to help build those connections between families to allow that strength to grow. I help create post-adoption experiences that strengthen bonds, build community, and restore people. I am Funding Love.